Morning and welcome this morning. It's been good to worship together this morning. Just really been blessed by the service so far. To be honest, the message that I feel the Lord has laid on my heart as I've been going through the week and as He's been giving it to me, I've been really excited about. But this morning I just feel weight about it. And so I don't typically do this, but I think we're just going to take a little bit more time in prayer. Andres, thank you for your prayer for me. But could we just have another little bit of just praying for me? I don't know. I just feel heavy with this. God, I pray that you would speak through me. I pray that you would speak through your word. I pray that our hearts would be open to hear what you have to say. God, we invite your presence here. We invite your spirit here. God, you are good. We come here this morning for you. God, I pray that this morning would bring honor and glory to you. That your name would be lifted high, that your name would be praised, that you would be given glory. Amen. So again, welcome here this morning. I said this already, it's good to be here. I love the words of that last song that we sang. It's probably one of my favorite hymns. Powerful. So before we start with what the Lord laid on my heart, one of the privileges of preaching is that if you have an announcement to make, you can just loop it in with your sermon. And so I have an announcement to make about our Costa Rica trip this summer. This summer, our youth group is planning to go to Costa Rica. We'll be leaving July 4th. We'll be spending about 9 days there, and we'll be getting back at July 13th. We're really looking forward to this. We'll be partnering with Vita Missions, and we'll be doing discipleship training with them, and then we'll be doing outreach with them, and we're really excited about this. And as a church body, we've been hearing about this trip, and we've been partnering together for this trip. And this morning, I want to announce that we are set financially. It's been amazing to see the provision of God, to see the funds for this trip come in. And thank you to you guys for your faithfulness in giving and supporting, and praise God for His faithfulness, for His provision. There are still some funds trickling in, so any additional funds that come in will be given straight to Vita Missions. Vita Missions has their mission that they run. They bring youth groups in during the summer. They also do a more extensive discipleship training program throughout the rest of the year. They have a women's clinic. They have two women's clinics that they work with. And so the additional funds that we raise beyond what we need will be going straight to Vita Missions. So if you felt called to give to this trip, but you didn't give yet, but if the Lord called you to give, I would still encourage you to give, but know that it's going to Vita Missions and that we want to support them. So praise God. And we had a little bit of clapping there, but can we just clap again and praise the Lord for His faithfulness? Amen. Another opportunity as a pastor, as somebody who preaches, is that throughout the year there are different events, holidays, Christmas, Easter, even national holidays that can affect what you bring on a Sunday morning. And so tomorrow is Memorial Day. Probably a lot of you know that. Probably a lot of you have off work tomorrow. And Memorial Day is a day that has been set up to remember those who have given their life in the armed forces for the United States. A day to honor the more than 1.3 million men and women who have laid down their lives and died in service for their country. The over 1.3 million individuals who have sacrificed their jobs, set aside their dreams and their plans, left their homes and families, and laid down their lives for their country. And while I'm a Mennonite and I don't necessarily agree with all of the wars that this country has fought, I honor and respect people who have laid down their life. You know, Jesus said there's no greater love than this, to lay down a life for your friend. When I was in high school, in the cafeteria, there would sometimes be a little table set up where military recruiters would be. They'd be standing there in their snappy uniforms. They'd have their poster boards, their flyers, their information, and they'd be recruiting people for the armed forces. And one of the times, one of the individuals that was standing up there had gone to the school. I had known him. I had gone to elementary school with him as well. And so I went up to talk with him and ask him how he was doing, and we conversed a little bit. And the other service member that was standing there asked me if I wanted any information about the military or joining. And I said, no, thank you, and that I'm a pacifist, but I still respect and I honor you guys for putting your life on the line, for laying down your life, for being willing to sacrifice your own life for people you don't even know. And I think in all of us, there's that honor and respect and admiration for somebody who is so passionate about something, so committed about something, that they lay down their life, they put it on the line, they give it up, they sacrifice it. And I think all of us admire that. All of us respect that. We respect people who lay down their life for something, but we don't just give that respect to somebody who lays down their life for anything. There are people who lay down their life for their addiction. There are people who give up their life in their pursuit of fun. There are people who lay down their life for their sport. There are people who lose their life for their gang. And we don't celebrate all of these because it's not just laying down your life in general that makes it an honorable thing to do. It's the cause for which somebody lays down their life that makes the act of laying down your life admirable. It's the cause. It's why you laid down your life. And what a better cause than Jesus? Paul the Apostle was somebody who was willing to lay down his life for Jesus. He started out as Saul. He was persecuting Christians. Had a radical transformation, a radical experience where he encountered God, converted his life, changed his life. He began to preach, to testify, to share the news about Jesus, traveling all over the known world and proclaiming the name of Jesus. And he experienced hardship. He was beaten. He was flogged. He was thrown in prison. He was shipwrecked. He got bitten by snakes. He endured all of this. He was stoned to death. Well, they thought he was dead. He wasn't quite dead. But he endured all of this for the sake of the gospel. You can turn with me if you want. We're going to jump to Acts 20. And this comes upon Paul. He's made multiple missionary journeys, and he's on his way back to Jerusalem. And as he's traveling back to Jerusalem, he's making stops along the way and meeting with people that he had previously met, that he had previously shared the gospel with. And in Acts 20, he's meeting with the Ephesian elders. And in verse 22, he's sharing with them. He says, "Now compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem. Not knowing what will happen to me there, I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace." He's putting his life on the line for it. We continue to follow Paul on his journey back to Jerusalem, and he meets with some other believers in chapter 21, and they're meeting together, and after a few days of being together, there's this prophet that comes, and he comes to Paul, takes off Paul's belt, and ties up his own hands with it. And he says, "In the same way that I've been bound, the owner of this belt will be bound." And he prophesies that Paul is going to be bound when he gets to Jerusalem. And so the believers hearing this are like, "Paul, don't go." Paul says, "Look, I'm ready not only to be bound, but to die, to give my life for the sake of Jesus Christ." Paul was willing to lay down his life for Jesus. And that's what he did. He gave up his life. He laid it down. He laid it all out for Jesus. Jim Elliot is another man who laid down his life for God. You may be familiar with the story of Jim Elliot. He was born in the late 1920s, and from an early age, he dedicated his life to missions. His goal was to prepare himself to be a long-term missionary. He studied the Bible, majored in Greek at Wheaton College. He studied Spanish when he felt called to Latin America. He studied linguistics. He worked at translating the Bible. And it was during his time working with Wycliffe Bible translators that he first heard of the Warani tribe in Ecuador. And he felt a call to go to them and share the gospel with them. At 25 years old, Jim left his home and traveled to Ecuador. He left his family, he left his comfort, he left his safety. He laid it all down for this calling of God on his life. 3 years later, along with the help of a missionary pilot, they first discovered the village huts, the jungle huts of the Warani tribe. And over the next few months, they would fly over weekly and drop gifts to the Warani tribe, establishing a connection with them. On January 2nd, 1956, Jim Elliott and four other missionaries landed their plane successfully on a beach close to the village. A few days later, they established contact with some of the Warani natives. It seemed like a friendly contact, but then 2 days later, Jim Elliott and the four other missionaries were killed by the Warani tribe, laying down their lives for the sake of the gospel. Jim Elliott wrote in his journal, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." What inspired these words? What inspired this idea that giving up his life, laying down his very life, facing death, was worth it? It was the words of Jesus that inspired him. He was reading in Luke 9, very similar to the passage that was read in Mark this morning. "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self?" Surely when Jesus said these words, he was just talking to the missionaries or to the people that were super dedicated or super committed. He was talking to all of us. He was talking to the crowds that were following him, and it wasn't just once that he said this. It was multiple times. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 through 26, he says almost the exact same thing. It's recorded again. Matthew 16, 24 through 26. Jesus says, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world and yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with the angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done." Again, in Luke 14, Jesus echoes this same call to lay down our lives. He's speaking to the large crowds that's following. It's not just the super dedicated disciples. It's everybody who wants to follow him. And he says, "Whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, 'This person began to build and wasn't able to finish.' Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples." These are some pretty strong words of Jesus. Take up your cross. Lay down your life. Give up everything to follow Jesus. This is the call that he has for all of us who want to be his disciple. Not just some of us. Currently, there is not a draft in the United States. It is an option to serve in the military. We're not required to join the military. We're required to pay our taxes. We're required to obey the laws, but we're not required to die for our country. You can choose to do that. You can choose to go to that next level of commitment, to go beyond your taxes and your laws and lay your life on the line for your country, but you're not required to. In Christianity, we're required to lay our life down for Jesus. If we want to be His disciple, if we want to follow Him, if we want to have a relationship with Him, if we want to inherit eternal life, we have to lay down our life. Jesus is clear about this. He says, you cannot be my disciple if you do not deny yourself, lay down your life, carry your cross. This is the invitation of Jesus. However, I don't want it to be something that makes us sad and heavy, because that's not the purpose. There's a story in the Gospels where there's this very rich ruler, and he comes to Jesus, says, Jesus, I followed all the rules. What do you want me to do? You know, what more must I do? I've done everything right. What else must I do? And Jesus looks at him and says, look, sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me. And the man walks away sad. This call of Jesus is not supposed to make us walk away sad. It's not a condemnation. Jesus is not saying, well, you know, if you don't lose your life, well, shame on you. He's calling us up to more. In the same way, the Marines, they don't recruit by saying, well, shame on you for just sitting at home and having a normal job and not giving more. They call to more. They say, do you want to live with purpose? To lay your life on the line? To be part of a group that fights side by side for each other? To experience purpose and passion and commitment and drive? That's what Jesus is offering. He's not saying, well, you know, you better lay down your life or else. He's saying, do you want to experience abundant life? Do you want to experience all that I have for you? Do you want to experience a full commitment to me? Do you want to lay down your life so that I can work through you? It's not a condemnation. It's an invitation to more. And it can be easy for us to say, like, oh yeah, I would die for Christ. In the same way that maybe a couple, the husband would say, well, I would die for my wife. Like, well, would you take out the trash for her? Like, I would lay down, I would do anything. Well, would you wash the dishes? In the same way, we can see this call of Christ to lay down our life and say, yeah, I would do that. But would you lay down your pride for Christ? Would you lay down your time for Christ? Would you lay down your job for Christ? Would you lay down your hobbies for Christ? Following the passage where Jesus interacts with the rich young ruler, he has a discussion with his disciples about how hard it is for rich people to enter heaven. And Peter goes, Jesus, we're not rich. We've given up everything for you. What's in it for us? And Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who has left family or fields or home for me will receive 100 times more and inherit eternal life. Jesus is calling us to lay down our life, our family, our home, our career. It's not going to look the same for each of us. But this is the call of Christ. This is the standard to which He invites us. As disciples, as followers of Him, we are called to lay down our life for Jesus. Oh no, I still feel this it's like weight, this heaviness. I'm going to pray again. That's okay. God, I pray that you would speak to us from your word. God, I pray that if you want to say something, I would get out of the way and you would say it. God, I pray that you would convict us where we need to be convicted. God, I pray that Satan would not be able to use this to condemn us, but that we'd experience your call to abundant life, to laying everything down for you. God, show us what it looks like to do that in our lives. God, I pray that we would be disciples of you. God, I pray that we would realize that being a disciple of you is more than showing up to church and paying our tithe. It involves laying down our life. Amen. don't know, I feel like I just ruined my conclusion. I really, in conclusion here, Jesus' invitation to give up everything for him is not a condemnation. It's an invitation to more. It's an invitation to us all to experience more, to give up everything for him, because it's when we lose our life for him that we truly find it. The only way to experience true life is to lay down our life for Christ. And this is the challenge to which he calls us. And he gives us his Holy Spirit to enable us to step up to that. And he gives us his word as an example of how we're supposed to lay down our life for him, how we're supposed to live our life for Christ. May we rise to that level of relationship with Christ. May we accept the invitation that Christ has for us.